You are listening to the Innovation Channel, presenting insights from senior executive game changers. This podcast series is brought to you by Cluster, the innovation brokers.
Hello, and welcome to the Cluster Briefing, a series of podcast interviews created specifically for C-level senior executives. My name is Robert Baldock, and joining me today is my guest, Roger Moore, technology controller at ITV. Like any major business, ITV relies on maximizing revenues. However, 2 years ago, ITV senior management recognized that the systems underpinning revenue collection were old, costly to maintain, and unsustainable. In a proactive step to address this growing risk, ITV decided to embark upon a large-scale change program. Nothing unusual there, you might think, but ITV's decision to adopt the Agile methodology was nothing short of radical. It went against all conventional wisdom. But as we're about to discover, ITV is far from conventional. Roger, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, using Agile to redevelop such a mission-critical system will be seen by some people as a very high-risk strategy. Why did you decide to take this radical route?
Well, the answer is twofold, really. We were able to point at experience in the recent past of adopting other methodologies. Some people would be familiar with Waterfall, which had failed to deliver. Timescales might have been hit, but scope would have been cut. And then we were also able to point at our digital business, which has been using Agile successfully for our consumer-facing products for a number of years. So we had two case studies, a good one and a bad one, which pointed us to Agile as actually a low-risk alternative by taking the challenge in bite-sized chunks and being able to demonstrate the benefit in, hopefully, pretty quickly.
So you were clearly convinced that Agile was the right solution, but convincing other people is often the biggest challenge of all. How did you win support and persuade the business to back your Agile approach?
Well, the first thing we did, as well as pointing at these two other sort of examples, the good and the bad, was to get sign-off for a short proof of concept where we were able to start demonstrating hands-on that some of the benefits of the Agile approach, so that we could put working software in the hands of users within a very short space of time. And that was very impressive, and you could tell that it's only really when you can give real business people access to systems that they start understanding and believing the messages. We've probably as a function been guilty of saying making lots of wild promises over the years and failing to come true, come sort of good on them. So this is really the first time that they've seen things happening in weeks or in days even, and that's started to build a confidence that we could do this.
It'd be fascinating to know how you approached this whole project.
So starting with a proof of concept, we were able to use that not only to prove the Agile approach as a method, but also to select our technology choice, so which software language we were going to build in. And then we partnered with a software house that we felt that we had a fit with, who had a strong track record and who we knew that we could rely on to deliver great code. And then it was all about really spending a lot of time with our business colleagues and helping them to understand how this would be different to how it was before. And the main difference is that it's their system. They design it. They're in with us and they're calling all the shots all the way through. They're not just spending time with us up front, but every day they're making the decisions around scope and around features. So we put out one of the challenges has been providing the reassurance about time and cost. So what we were able to do is look ahead and understand the broader scope and put some markers down and then start to try and fill out that plan in between without constraining the Agile approach. But really it was about kicking it off and getting going. And then, as I said previously, just getting the software in the hands of the users and allowing the momentum to build.
So earlier you mentioned about wanting to secure the help of an external party to help you with this critical project. Why did you see the need for this external party? What were you looking for them to help you with, and what has your experience been with them so far?
Part of the transformation for us is moving from some of the legacy technologies that we are more familiar with into more open source technologies. And that's not something that we have a strong internal team for at the moment. So we knew, given the technologies at play, as well as the scale of the project, that we would need to partner with someone. We were looking for someone that would bring very bright people who could understand not just the technology, but also the business domain very quickly and pick that up, and then be able to create high quality code that we knew that we'd be able to look after for the long term. And that's worked very well. We've partnered with someone who has not only delivered very high quality code and very high quality product, but they've also demonstrated the ability to get alongside and understand our business users, and have built great confidence amongst the business users. And then they've also, within the technology team, helped to upskill and equip the rest of my team for the long term.
Roger, I understand from our conversation that one of the critical decisions was around the appointment of a product lead and a product owner. Perhaps you could explain why they were so critical and what contribution they made to the success of this project.
Absolutely, they were crucial. Fundamentally, this is a business system that we've delivered. And in the agile approach, the business has the say at every single turn. Daily, weekly, fortnightly, in various different forums, we build what the business, what our business colleagues tell us to build. So having an embedded full-time product owner has been both a great privilege and a big investment from our business team, but absolutely critical. So that individual has shaped the product. They have the respect and of their peers, so they're able to sell the ideas being generated into the business teams, as well as triage all the ideas from the business teams back into the technology team, the development team, so that we're not sort of running after, sort of chasing shadows, if you like. So that's been an absolutely key role, and as we've got closer to roll out and now rolling it out to the teams, that individual is leading the training, and he is the super user on the ground, with the subject matter experts reporting into him almost. Now, because of organizational hierarchy, it's appropriate that individual, it doesn't have the whole burden on their shoulders for shaping this business critical system. So there is a product lead or a product sponsor role that's in place. And this individual is equally critical. They can look across the business estate. They can understand the operations and how the systems will impact, and decisions made on the ground by the product owner will impact other teams perhaps. And so that chain of that hierarchical sort of chain of command is critical, not just for the direction of the project, but also when it comes to managing stakeholder expectations further up the chain as well, because that individual is the product lead is a senior manager who has the respect of the senior business leadership and is able to explain what's going on and is able to give the confidence that actually, yeah, we're on the right track, or call it if you're not. I mean, if he gets nervous and thinks that we're missing a trick, then he'll call it, and that's absolutely appropriate. So that sort of two-pronged approach has been fundamental to the success so far.
So is Agile the only way forward these days, or are there other approaches you might consider?
For a software development project of this nature, it's the obvious choice, but I wouldn't say that it's a one-size-fits-all, and we need to make sure that we don't think that Agile is going to solve all our problems, because Agile means, it's an umbrella term, and it means many different things to many different people. So one of the things that we've had to deal with is helping our colleagues understand that Agile doesn't necessarily mean fast. Agile doesn't necessarily mean really cheap. What Agile means is that you've got a better chance of getting the thing that you really want first time round. So that is actually a mindset change for our business colleagues, but also for us within technology. I think it's tempting to sort of hang your hat on the next new fad and think that that's going to be the holy grail. Really, it comes down to good relationships and good old fashioned understanding the business need and writing great code. And how we choose to do that it makes sense that we run short iterative cycles where we're interacting with the business on a regular basis. So stripping away some of the sort of the baggage that might come with Agile, that's what it's about. And actually, that's very engaging and very easy for our business colleagues to understand. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get the perfect product in a very, very rapid space of time. But what they will do is get a product that they can see, which will then help them to shape and develop and iterate on their thinking about what they want in a very short space of time, which means that you're likely to get to a better end product in probably a similar, perhaps, amount of time.
So I guess what it comes down to is I can't tell you what I want, but if you show it to me, I'll tell you whether it's what I want.
Certainly along those lines, yeah.
So I understand the system is operational now after just a few months, and that's a huge achievement. Looking back, what would you say were the key lessons you learned from that process? And what would you do differently, if anything, next time?
So the lessons are pretty clear, but before going into sort of what's been so hard, I mean, it is worth emphasizing just what an achievement this is. We've not got a great track record of delivering software in a timely manner that actually does what the business wants it to do. And so this has been a fantastic sort of proof of concept of the Agile method, and it stood us in really good stead for going forward. So yes, it has been a great achievement, but as you say, we have learned some lessons along the way. I think the first lesson is really bridging the gap between the Agile Scrum team on the ground and the boardroom who want to understand cost and time. And that's something that I can't pretend that we've completely cracked it. It comes down to confidence. It comes down to personalities and the ability to just look someone in the eye and say, well, we're going to do this, and then following through on that promise. So yes, that has been a challenge. And I think up front, what we've tried to do is put in place some milestones which we would track against, and then be able to demonstrate our progress towards those milestones on a regular basis. But then just keeping very transparent about how things are going and what the business is getting versus not getting. And then really allowing the business, our business colleagues, the customers of the system, to be the advocates for the system, so that it doesn't become a sort of technology versus business. You said this, I said that. Really, this is a joint exercise, and that's what has stood it in good stead.
Roger. Thank you for these thoughts. It's been a fascinating insight into Agile thinking and how to harness its true potential. And thank you for joining me on this cluster briefing. I look forward to welcoming you to future cluster briefings, but for now, thank you and keep innovating.
If you would like even more insights, we have prepared a